Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Macaulay?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Hey, I'm doing all right. You know, folks, you know the number, you know, wish you a pre-Labor Day, Happy Labor Day, which is tomorrow. And, of course, you know, what we do on this show, we talk sports and entertainment and everything else. You guys all know the number is, of course, 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So let your voices get heard. You know, we're gonna lead off with a little baseball. You know, we're going to talk the Mets as they're going to finish up this series with the Nationals later tonight. You know, we're going to talk about how they've been doing so far. And the fresh, you know, young faces, the future is now with the Mets, of course. We're going to lead off with that, and then we're going to, take the train to, shift gears with the Yankees, how they're doing, you know, against the Orioles. Talk about football, which is coming up. you know, this week, this upcoming week. And of course, you know, we're going to talk a little, you know, WWE, and also give a little, you know, a little recap of what happened on SummerSlam a few weeks ago, and, you know, what's going on with WWE. Of course, folks, you know the number, and let's start the show. All right, the Mets, they're playing later tonight. They came off an 11-3 win last night, in which Wheeler, he improved to 7-3, and he's 5-0 on the road. You know, he had a pretty good performance. He's been his last four starts. He's pitched well, and he beat the Nationals. Matt Dendecker, he got his first major league hit, so congratulations to him. These last couple of days, the top Met hitting prospect, Travis d'Arnaud, who's the catcher, the centerpiece of the R.A. Dickey trade in this offseason, he's starting to hit now after going through a horrible, rough start
right
so far in his career. And, of course, you know, the big news, I believe it was earlier this week or last week, I lost count, was basically the ace of the Mets staff, Matt Harvey. He, you know, he injured himself. I think he slightly torn UCL. So, you know, he's gonna let his elbow heal in a few weeks, and then determine whether or not if it's you know, if it's ready to, if he'll need surgery or not, or let it heal by himself. And basically, you know, Roy Halladay, I don't know if you heard about this, Roy Halladay basically gave Matt Harvey some advice, you know, when
really?
He was playing, yeah, when he was playing against the Mets, basically saying that, you know, he had the same injury in 06, but he let it heal. And, you know, the rest is history for Matt Halladay, basically. But, you know, people are individuals. So, you know, hopefully Matt Harvey can heal, you know, since he's a young guy. Hopefully, hopefully his elbow will heal by itself. Because if not, if he gets Tommy John surgery, you know, he's going to be gone. He's not only going to be gone for the rest of this year, which that's already confirmed, but he's going to miss all of next year, 2014. So, you know, as a Mets fan, and I'm pretty sure a lot of baseball fans who enjoy watching Matt Harvey pitch every fifth day, you know, I'm praying that this guy, you know, he can heal on his own without any surgery. So, you know, the whole future of the Mets depend on Matt Harvey.
Yeah, I mean, the future of this organization, the franchise relies on Matt Harvey right now. I mean, that's one of the shining stars, or one of the bright spots on the Mets roster right now. And if he's going to miss all of next year and some of 2015, I mean, that's a big blow for the Mets. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. Next year is supposed to be the year when Mets are, you know, starting to, you know, try to improve the team, you know, through trades and, free agency. Obviously, most likely not through the pitching, unless if, you know, Matt Harvey is going to be gone, you know,
yeah.
They might need to get a starter to replace him. But, hopefully he'll be back, you know, in time, like he said, like Harvey tweeted shortly after the injury. He said that he expects to be back April 1st. And obviously, you know, that will be possible if he doesn't get the Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, Tommy John surgery, that's not a joke. I mean.
Oh, no, it isn't a joke. Back in the days, like in the 80s, once you had Tommy John surgery, you know, that was it.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, it's named after the, you know, the great pitcher, you know, who also pitched for you for the Yankees. Did he throw a no-hitter for you guys?
I'm not sure.
Or I could be thinking of somebody else.
I don't think so.
I'd have
to look up. I don't
read
think
it.
So.
Yeah, I mean, how many of you guys threw a no-hitter slash perfect game for you guys? Like 10 to 12
something.
Guys?
Yeah, something like that. But I don't know if Tommy John was one of them, though.
Yeah, I'd have to find that out later.
Yeah.
But any case, you know, hopefully he'll be healthy. And the other big news after that is, of course, Marlon Byrd and John Buck, who are basically the two productive guys, you know, of the Mets, you know, other than David Wright, you know, position player wise. They both got traded to Pittsburgh, you know, to give Pittsburgh, you know, some more power, even though, you know, as great as that team is this year, they don't really need it, but, you know, it don't hurt, you know.
Right.
Especially as they're going to the postseason, which would be their first postseason since, you know, the Barry Bonds days, like 93, I believe.
Right, right.
So, yeah, I mean, so basically they got back this prospect, the second base prospect. His name is Herrera. He doesn't have much range for a shortstop. So basically they move him to second base. Apparently, you know, he's like he has the potential to be a 2020 guy. You know, he has the potential to be a 2020 guy. I think he's a speedy guy, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, he does have that potential to be a 2020 guy.
Yeah.
And they also got, as the player to be named later, a pitcher called Vic Black, who's expected to be called up today and make his major league debut. Apparently, you know, he's a guy, I think, a closer in their system, the Pirates system. You know, he could throw up to like 90 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're expecting him to be a good pitcher. So, you know, usually when you get a player to be named, you know, player is usually a scrub, you know, a guy who, you know, some veteran dude who, you know, basically can't play. So they just throw him in the deal. So if this guy lives up to the potential, you know, that could be a good addition to the Mets bullpen this year and beyond. Oh, yeah, one more thing about Herrera. He's not expected to be up anytime soon. He's going to be – Mets are expecting him to you know, make his debut 2 or 3 years from now. So anything on the horizon as of right now.
Right. Yeah.
Let me see. I'm trying to think what else happened. Well, I guess I'll, you know, basically shift gears, really. To the Yankees, and Yankees they lost today 7-3 after leading 3-0, and of course you guys won, I think, Saturday night.
Yeah, Saturday we won the game 8-5. Sabathia didn't pitch good. He gave up, I think, 5 runs. I think he gave up 5 runs. Through 5 2/3, and he was removed. And although he didn't pitch good, you know, the offense picked up the slack. Soriano had a 2-run home run, and Ichiro had a 2-run home run. Both Ichiro, Cano, and Reynolds drove in 5 runs, and we won that game 8-5. And yesterday, that game 8-5 was on Friday. Yeah.
Oh yeah, 8-5 was Friday. Nova was the 2-0 game.
Yeah, the 2-0 was last night with Nova, who's been our best pitcher. Lately, he's been pitching great. Has like the 2.9 ERA for the season, and he held the Orioles in check. Didn't allow any runs. Only gave up 3 hits, struck out 5, and had his first career shutout. And we won that game. Yeah, he's been pitching real good. You know, he's 8-4 on the season.
Him and Kuroda is basically carrying the team.
Yeah, Kuroda's been struggling of late, his last couple of games or so, but Right now, it's definitely Nova is our best pitcher, and he's had a very good season. He's come back to have a great season, and yeah, that was a great game that he had yesterday. And the Orioles pitcher Scott Feldman had a good – he pitched well also, but they just we scored enough runs to win that game, so we ended up winning 2-0. And
absolutely.
we climbed back into the wild card. We were, I guess, we jumped over Orioles half a game. But because we lost today, now the Orioles are back in front of us a half game in the wild card. So three teams are in front of us right now. It's Tampa Bay, Oakland, and, of course, Orioles. So we have to try to win every series from now on in order to, you know, secure a wild card spot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, like you were saying about Kuroda, I mean, obviously, you know, you got to expect at some point from the pitch bad, you know. You know, he's been pitching great all year. I mean, he's been like in video game mode, basically, you know.
Yeah, he's been good all season, so.
It was bound to happen.
This is a new month, you know, so hopefully we could try to win every series, try to get back to this thing, and try to get one of the wild card spots, you know.
Yep. This is September now. This is now or never, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we'll definitely, you know, keep an eye on how the Yankees are doing as they push to another September, trying to get themselves into the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And shifting gears, you know, with the Jets, it's expected Geno Smith is going to start game one against Tampa Bay. They cut McElroy, who played a few games last year after, you know, the Jets was eliminated from the postseason, which, of course, you remember Tim Tebow was on the team at that time. He got recently cut by the Patriots.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of, you know, cuts have been going down. And Mark Sanchez, of course, he injured himself in, you know, week three of the postseason. And he's expected to miss a few, you know, a few weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, Jets went 3-1 this preseason. And the Giants went 1-3. But, you know, then again, preseason
doesn't really matter.
Mean much. Yeah,
believe me. I found out the hard way. You know, I used to, you know, when I was, you know, a fan earlier on, you know, especially one year, like going back to the Mets, like it was 2002, they were like dominating the preseason. You know, if you remember, that was the year they got Alomar, Brenitz, Mo Vaughn.
Right.
I'm like, okay, they're dominating the spring training. Let's see, you know, hopefully they could do it. And obviously that was the worst team money can buy part 2.
Yeah.
It was the sequel of the 92-93 you know, Met teams with Bonilla and Kent and Eddie Murray, basically, you know, Vince Coleman. You know, basically they had big names on paper, but you know, the guys were basically washed up by the time they came to the Mets.
Yeah, I mean, preseason doesn't mean much. Just a lot of guys trying to make the cut, trying to make the team, and you know, just coaches and managers trying to get a feel for what players are going to be on the roster, and trying to, you know, strategize and like figure out their offense and defense. So it doesn't mean much. The real season will begin next week.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa Bay on a Sunday afternoon,
and of course,
we'll have a Sunday night game against Cowboys.
And of course, you know what's going to go down, Tampa Bay. They're going to have a reunion with their former cornerback, Darrell Revis.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So that's definitely, that's definitely worth watching.
Revis is going to want his redemption.
Oh, yeah. But then again, he doesn't really have anything to redeem himself for. You know, he played well. He just got injured last year.
Right.
But then again, you know, the only problem I have with him, you know, when he was with the Jets, because like every 2 years, you know, he wants a new contract. You know,
right?
I mean, obviously he is the best cornerback in the game, but I mean, come on! I mean, every 2 years or so, I understand. You know, you gotta make your money. You know, but I mean, sometimes I mean, you gotta be a little loyal.
Right.
You can't be having holdouts every 2 years to try to get a new contract.
Exactly.
So, you know, he's definitely going to, you know, he's definitely going to be amped up for, you know, for the week one game.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited. I can't wait to see the matchups. Can't wait till football season starts. Looking forward to it.
And then your boys, the Giants, you know, they're getting ready.
Yep. Got to go to Cowboy Stadium, play over there. Is it going to be a Cowboy Stadium, I think?
I think so. That's gonna be crazy.
Yeah, Eli usually plays good over there, so expect him to have another good game there.
Yeah, Eli basically plays good anywhere, especially in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, he loves playing it against the Cowboys, that's for sure.
Yep.
But it should be a good game.
The Patriots too.
Yeah.
Yep. I wonder if the in Boston they treat Eli Manning like they treat Bucky Dent.
They probably do.
Maybe.
It should be a fun game. I'm excited.
Yeah, football starting, man, you know.
Oh, yeah, I've missed it.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yep.
And I don't know if you heard about the Knicks. Basically, you know, a few weeks ago, you know, when or a month or two ago when Paul Pierce, you know, signed with the, you know, he officially became a Net. With his press conference, he was saying that how, you know, he always hated the Knicks. But now that he's in New York, you know, in Brooklyn, he has a little bit more hate for them. And basically, J.R. Smith was saying that how, you know, he's a bitter man, you know, who just wanted out of Boston, and you know, he's gonna have basically you're gonna eat his words. To paraphrase what J.R. Smith said.
Wow. Trash talking going around.
Bring it on. Oh, I don't know if you heard. But apparently there's David Stern spoke to Prokhorov, you know, the Nets owner, and Dolan, the Knicks owner, to basically, you know, cool off the heated rivalry between the two, make it a little bit more civil.
Man, please.
So we shall see. But, I mean, there was no point. I mean, it's good for the city.
It is.
To have rivalry.
Yeah.
There's a buzz. There's a buzz in there, you know.
It does create some buzz. I agree.
The only way how the buzz can increase if, you know, we face each other in the Eastern Conference Finals, you know, with all the, you know, with the, you know, chance, you know, the trip to go to the NBA Finals on the line. That's the only way that the rivalry could, you know, really get ignited.
Yeah. And, well, the last time we played the Nets in the playoffs, it didn't look too good for the Knicks.
No, it was a totally different Knicks, man. totally different Knicks team.
Yeah, so if that does happen, hopefully this time around we'll get the win.
Oh, yeah, and return the favor.
Yeah.
And this time Jason Kidd, you know, he's going to, you know, he there's nothing he could do about it. He's just going to watch, just like Big Show. You know, at SmackDown on Friday, but we're going to get into that in a few minutes.
You mentioned Tebow. I have a tribute song for Tebow, if you don't mind me playing it on the show.
Sure, go right ahead.
All right.
And now, to perform a song about New England Patriots signing Tim Tebow as their new backup quarterback, ladies and gentlemen, Tebowie.
Now's your chance to prove I'm wrong. Tebow, Tebow, released from the Jets. Tebow, Tebow, you're a patriot. Tebow, Tebow, it's Tom Brady's show. Will you play? I don't think so. Uh-oh. Got a day. So say, learn to throw. And now learn to throw. Tebow, Tebow, released from the Jets. Tebow, Tebow, you're a patriot. Tebow, Tebow, it's Tom Brady's show. Will you play? I say, hell no.
A tribute for Tebow, who now is no longer with the Patriots anymore.
Yep.
So, gonna have to find a new team.
We don't know where he's gonna be now. I don't know if he's gonna be in Canadian Football League or whatever, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jets really ruined his career for sure.
Oh yeah, they put the icing on the cake.
Oh man. But yeah, let's go quickly into the SummerSlam recap.
Yeah.
You know, the big news is basically, we'll talk about, you know, as I suspected, Brock Lesnar beat Punk.
Yep.
And, you know, they're postponing the feud right now as we speak.
Yep.
Because now Paul Heyman and Curtis Axel are going to fight in a handicap match, you know, against CM Punk this upcoming pay-per-view event. There's a rumor that I knew Heyman guy's gonna debut at Night of Champions. I don't know if it's a already established guy who's gonna become a Heyman guy, or if it's a guy in NXT who's gonna come up and, you know, make his debut as a Heyman guy. So that's the rumor that's going on right now.
It'll be interesting. Can't wait to see who it is.
Yeah. I think Punk is gonna lose if this rumor is true, because it's gonna make a bigger impact, and I think Heyman's gonna pin him.
Wow.
Just so they can add salt to the injury, because if Punk beats Heyman and Axel, if this guy exists. Yeah, I mean, if this new Heyman guy is really gonna debut at Night of Champions, it's not gonna have as much as an impact if Punk beats them,
right?
Even
with
the guy's interference. And of course, like I was saying, the bigger news was, of course, as the rumor was, we all hoped it would happen. Daniel Bryan did beat Cena for the WWE title, and as the rumor was reported, Orton turned heel and cashed in his Money in the Bank on Daniel Bryan. But the shocker of the night was that Triple H turned heel, pedigreed Orton, and Daniel Bryan, and allowed Orton to cash in the Money in the Bank, becoming the new champion and the face of the WWE. And
yeah.
I gotta tell you, WWE, you know, it's been really good, this storyline with, you know, with Orton versus Daniel Bryan.
I agree.
This story's been really great.
Yeah.
And then you put you mix the Shield in as Orton and Triple H and the McMahon, the new version of the corporation. The story's been really interesting to watch.
Yeah, it's been a great couple of months for the WWE.
Yeah, this whole year so far has been one of the best years in WWE since 2006.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, I mean, you had the Rock challenging Punk in the first two pay-per-view events. You had the WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had Extreme Rules where Brock Lesnar and Triple H. Yeah, they had their last match, which was apparently good. I didn't see that. Then you had the Money in the Bank. I mean, they've had some good pay-per-view events.
Yeah, it's been a good year for the WWE.
Yeah,
Ziggler cashing it in on Raw, winning the title.
Yep, the day after WrestleMania. And then, of course, we didn't even talk about the other big news, you know, other than the Daniel Bryan fighting with Orton, you know, Orton spray painting Orton's car, and then later on SmackDown getting, you know, spray painted by Orton, NWO style, or N-O as, you know, Orton wrote. But, of course, the pipe bombshell. I'm sure you've heard of it, right?
Are you talking about Big Show?
No, I'm talking about AJ. AJ cut a promo. AJ Lee cut a promo on the women's division, basically, you know, saying that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wasn't that Raw? Yeah, yeah.
What was your thoughts on her performance, you know, basically saying that the Bella Twins, you know, sucked up, you know, their way all the way up to the top, you know, because they're...
She's right.
The women are, you know, the Bella Twins are dating Daniel Bryan and John Cena.
Yeah, she's right. I mean, everything that she said was true. I mean, the Bellas did, you know, suck up, and they were able to get... I mean, one of them is with John Cena, you know, right
one
now.
One is with
so
Daniel Bryan. The two of the top Bryan. Guys in the business right now.
Yeah.
Other than CM Punk.
Yeah, she was dead on. And that was one of her best promos, I think,
yeah,
ever.
I think that was her best promo.
Yeah, it was.
Because there was some truth to it, even though, you know, it's, you know, scripted. But there
mm-hmm.
was, you know, truth to what she was saying.
Yeah. Added a little spice to the Divas division.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, that's also something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think RVD is going to fight against Del Rio for the title. And, of course, Ricardo Rodriguez is now RVD's new manager and a ring announcer. And I'm expecting for Ricardo Rodriguez to, you know, when RVD is trying to hit the five-star frog splash, I expect him to, Ricardo Rodriguez to push him, push RVD off the rope before he hits it. And then he basically, you know, Ricardo Rodriguez reveals that he's, you know, back with Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah, I think that'll happen too.
Because Alberto Del Rio is nothing, and I repeat, nothing without Ricardo Rodriguez.
Oh yeah.
Without Ricardo Rodriguez, he's just a JBL ripoff.
Basically, Latino JBL.
Exactly, he's just a ripoff. You know, he has the scarf. He don't even come out with the cars anymore. Don't get me wrong, he can fight in the ring, but his gimmick is kind of weak without Ricardo Rodriguez.
Yeah.
So that's worth watching. And trying to think. Oh, yeah. Big Show. Yeah, there was this whole thing on SmackDown. Big Show was watching the entire SmackDown as punishment because, you know, he didn't like the way Triple H was treating Daniel Bryan. So basically, he had to watch the whole match, and basically, it made Big Show, Ziggler, and The Miz, especially Big Show, it made them look like a bunch of weaklings because, you know, they didn't want to get fired. That's why they didn't help out Daniel Bryan when Daniel Bryan be helping those guys out when they were fighting against The Shield.
Yeah, they look like bitches.
I don't know what they're thinking about in the storyline. They should have did it to like mid card guys, not guys who actually won a championship. Because I mean, back in the Attitude Era, Rock and Stone Cold, they didn't care whether they're going to lose their job or get arrested. They fought against Vince McMahon. They fought against, you know, the corporation, anybody who stood in their way from getting the title. They fought, even if they lost their jobs. I mean, literally, Stone Cold and Rock lost their jobs in storyline purposes, too, now that I think about it.
Yeah, man, got arrested.
Yeah. It still didn't stop them from being afraid of losing their jobs. I mean, I don't know. That's the only problem I have with what WWE is doing with the storyline. They could have made everybody else act like that except for like the main event guys, the guys who they think is serious.
Well, you have Daniel Bryan. I mean, I guess he's the one that's standing out right now.
I mean, Daniel Bryan, I mean, obviously he's the only guy that's standing out, but how are we going to take Big Show, Miz and Ziggler seriously when they just like it's one thing. They could have been like, oh, you know, it's not my business. You know, it's not my fight. You know, I fight for myself. You know what I'm saying? Look at CM Punk. CM Punk, I don't even think CM Punk was even on the stage. CM Punk didn't do anything, you know. Nobody even cared that they did anything, whether he did anything or not. But for those guys to just stand there and just cry like Big Show and not do nothing, I mean, if Big Show was a bad guy, I mean, he would have did something. He would have beat up Daniel Bryan. He wouldn't just sit there and cry like a little cry baby and just you know, literally sit there and just watch Daniel Bryan get his butt kicked.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only bad decision that WWE did in the storyline. But
I think maybe in the next couple of weeks you'll see someone else try to help him
stand up. Yeah, it has to, because the WWE good guys are looking really weak right now.
Yeah.
Other than Daniel Bryan, of course.
Right.
And that's definitely worth watching. So check that out, folks. And in TNA news, they released Evon again. Because he lost at a handicap match in which AJ Styles turned into a good guy again. He returned to his phenomenal AJ Styles gimmick. And, you know, basically, Evon's gone with the company again.
Check out my show Saturdays at 11 and check out this show Sundays at 6.
You heard that, folks. So, you know, what's on my heart?